T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Sports Radio 94WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. As we look forward here to week 6 in the NFL, and we do it with our buddy Steve Fezzik, pregame.com. Go check out everything there. Steve joining us now to look ahead. Steve, how you doing tonight?
I am good. Week 6, let's keep trekking along. And for the most part, we're playing almost all these games.
Yes, so far. And we've got some at least some better news than we thought with some of the news coming out of Atlanta and Indianapolis. So it looks like we got some good games coming up Sunday. Steve, the line is moving not in a great direction for the Eagles here. They, from one line I saw today, they haven't been this big of home dogs in a very long time, over a decade. The Ravens are outstanding. The Eagles showed some spunk, at least offensively, last week. What do you think here? Is there a chance we're getting a cover or an upset? What are you feeling on this game?
Oh, there's certainly a chance. And, you know, the sports betting market is very similar to the stock market. So what happens, word gets out, Lane Johnson probably isn't going to play. And Baltimore's laying 7.5, and the pros jump in, and they're teasing the heck out of Baltimore down to -1.5 as fast as they can and jamming in Baltimore -7, lay $1.25 bets, things like that. And then it gets bet all the way up to 10. And at that point, I get it. You've got cluster injuries on the O-line. It's a decimation for Philly. But Lane Johnson is not worth 2.5 points, especially considering it wasn't like he was 100% anyways. And so the pros came in and took the 10 on Philly back. So I think you can get 10. I think it's a good investment on the Eagles.
Steve, when you look at the Eagles last week, did you take away feeling better about them after a comeback in Pittsburgh and really had a chance with a couple minutes to go and win that game? Or is it same old, they still can't win?
Mixed bag. I generally came across a little bit more favorable. I don't like the fact you got the miracle 75-yard touchdown run, which is unsustainable. But the bottom line is at the end of the game, you were a 7-point dog and you had an opportunity to take the lead with 4 minutes to play. So clearly you played a very good premium team in Pittsburgh, in a bad spot for you guys coming from the West Coast back home, and you played a good game. So generally favorable.
All right, Steve, let's hop around some of the big games this week. And I love the Green Bay-Tampa Bay game. It's a fascinating matchup here. Rodgers and Brady, you know, we haven't seen them play that often because they're obviously in different conferences their whole career. And now this is a big game. I mean, Green Bay, for my money so far, has been the best, you know, overall team in the NFC. Tampa coming off a loss, but I think they'll bounce back if they clean up the penalties. How do you read this one? It's basically, you know, around a 1-point or a pick 'em right now.
Yeah, and Tampa, I know it counts as a loss, but they won that game against Chicago. We all saw it. I was 13-0. Tampa Bay was dominating. The Bears somehow got a touchdown pass to one of their tight ends that really should not have gotten through. And then Tampa, bad turnover. You blink and the Bears took the lead at 14-13. And then Tampa, yeah, Brady did not play well in the fourth quarter, but Tampa dominated the stats. The line on this game a week ago was Tampa Bay -3. You could have bet Green Bay +3. Well, Green Bay hasn't played, and Tampa Bay played pretty well at Chicago, and now it's flipped all the way to pick 'em, even +1 on Tampa. I bet Tampa.
All right, how about the team that Tampa played last week, Chicago? They won that game. Now they go on the road to Carolina. Steve, I got to say, Carolina is, for my money, the biggest surprise this year. They are off to a very promising start with head coach Matt Rhule. But this is the first time they're favored all year. So Chicago has more rest. Carolina back at home. They're the favorites now. Fun game, Chicago at Carolina. How do you read it?
Yeah, I lean to Carolina. I'm against the money. The big money is being bet on Chicago with the 10 days rest, as you mentioned. Carolina's a team that a lot of pros said, you know what, Matt Rhule comes in, Phil Snow, the DC, totally unproven. I don't know what Bridgewater is about. Brand new team in terms of new starters, especially on defense, continuity issues. They really could have covered against the Raiders. They should have covered against Tampa. And then you nailed it, three straight upset wins, all as an underdog. So this Carolina team is a team on the come that had no continuity to start the year, no reason to think they don't keep getting better, but they are injured, and the sharp money is against me on this game.
All right, Steve, explain to me the strangest line of the week as I look at it. Right now it's going off at Tennessee at home, -3.5 over Houston. Houston won their first game last week, and meanwhile Tennessee has not lost yet, coming off an impressive win over the Bills. Like, before looking at it, I would have assumed the line would be much more in the favor of Tennessee. Is it the short week? What's going on there?
Yeah, it really makes no sense why Houston's catching 3.5. It should be less. Let me make my case. So how often does an NFL team get to play on a Tuesday? Never. And then they got to wheel back from Tuesday night and play on Sunday. So it's a short week for a Titan team that hasn't practiced because of COVID prior to that game last week for 3 weeks. All right, for 10 days. I exaggerate, Joe. That's what I do. But the Texans, I think the buy sign's blinking, and here's why. They lose Hopkins. No problem. They've got two really good wide receivers, Cooks and Fuller. But neither one of these guys has been healthy all year long, and that shows in the targets. The combined targets for those two guys has been 12 or less every game until last week when both their wide receivers got healthy. They're healthy. They're good wide receivers. And Cooks and Fuller got targeted 20 times. As long as those guys stay healthy, which probably won't be for long, the Texans have a good offense. And because of that, I back them here.
Interesting. All right, how about a game in the AFC North that really hasn't had meaning when these two teams play each other in a very long time like this? Cleveland at Pittsburgh. The Browns have been impressive with Stefanski. Pittsburgh, we saw what they did to the Eagles last week. 3.5-point spread here. One of the two games they'll play this year. Both will have meaning. How do you read this?
How good a coach is Stefanski? You got to love what he is doing. So Cleveland runs the ball absolutely down Dallas's throat. They're having great success. They get to 3-1. They play Indy, and despite having all the success on the ground and being the number one team in terms of prevalence of rushing, Indy stacks the box, and Stefanski, who loves to run, says, we'll throw it. And they throw it two-thirds of the time to start the game. That is a really good coach, but I don't know if it's going to be enough here. Baker Mayfield took a shot at the end of the game. He tried to throw one more pass, and he did not look good at all with the rib injury. And now he faces a Steelers team that's averaging 5 sacks per game. Bold prediction. Mayfield gets knocked out of this game. I hope it's not too serious, but it might be. The Brown season train wrecks on a Mayfield injury this week.
Wow, that is a big prediction there. Let's go to Monday night. I love the pair of Monday night games that we get this week. Steve, I know you are always been big on Kansas City and you know, future bets with them and how good they are. Red flag last week as they go to Buffalo now that the Raiders are able to kind of take them apart through the air. Was that a red flag, or are you still very high on Kansas City heading into Buffalo?
It is a red flag, and here's why. It'd be easy to say, you know what, Kansas City won 12 games last year. They lost 4 games, so they lost one of their first 5. They're kind of on pace to last year. But last year, every loss was excusable. Mahomes got his ankle mangled in the fourth quarter against Indy and Houston, so he wasn't himself. Mahomes didn't play in the Green Bay loss, and Mahomes' first game back against Tennessee, and Kansas City had a 98% chance to win. Lots of asterisks. I could make 4 excuses. No excuse for the Raiders. The Raiders just kicked their butt. Major concern. Now, I know it was a flat spot for Kansas City off back-to-back Monday Night Football games, but still, I do have concerns.
All right, let's go to the last game of the weekend. Really, first a big-picture question, then we'll get to the game. How significant is the downgrade from Dak Prescott to Andy Dalton? I think it's a big one because Dallas's defense is just so poor that you need to score a lot to win. Do you see it that way?
It is significant. It's worth 3 points per game, but 3 points per game is not as much as you might think. One way I would look at that is it reduces your chance of winning any one game by about 10%. So there's 11 games left. That means it's going to cost Dallas 1.1 games. That's it. So if Dallas the rest of the way was going to go 6-5, they'll go 5-6, et cetera. That might be good enough. That will be good enough, I would think, to win the division. If Dallas, I think 7 wins is my target right now. If the Eagles want to win the division, 7.5 is going to do it. And Andy Dalton is the best backup in the NFL, a little bit better than Jameis Winston, a little bit better than Jacoby Brissett. It's real close by my numbers. And because of that, Dallas is certainly still in this. I did bet Dallas. Bad travel spot for Arizona. Third straight road game, and they've all been long road trips.
Yeah, they have. And how about that defense for Dallas? Do you still, because the one thing and I'm with you on the game, I think Dallas wins it, but I do have some fear that Kyler Murray is just going to take apart a bad Dallas defense.
I think it's going to be decided by turnovers. You nailed it. Real bad Dallas defense, but they can get after you with the pass rush. Dallas is going to have to get a strip sack like they did against the Giants to go ahead and get this win.
Steve, always appreciate you hopping on. Have a great night, great weekend, and we'll chat soon.
My pleasure, Joe. Thank you for having me on.
There we go. Steve Fezzik of pregame.com. So that's interesting, the conversation there, what he said about Dak Prescott to Andy Dalton. So he believes over the course of the rest of the season, it is about a one-win drop-off. And I agree with him. That doesn't sound significant, but that is the difference in the division, right? If Dallas was going to get to 8 or 9 wins and now they only get to 7 or 8, there is the opening for the Eagles. There is the hope for the Eagles. I continue to believe that the biggest thing that happened last weekend to the Eagles had nothing to do with Carson Wentz's play or a comeback or Doug's decision to kick the field goal or not, or Jim Schwartz versus Claypool and Gary. Like, all that is just, that's small potatoes. Dak Prescott got hurt last week. And if he's healthy, I don't think the Eagles were going to be able to win this division. He was the best player in the division. He was the best quarterback in the division. And now, like, and maybe Steve's is down, maybe he's not downgrading enough. Maybe it's a 2-win loss, you know, the rest of the way. But even if it's 1, if Dallas was going to win 9 and they win 8, or they were going to win 8 and they win 7 now, there's the opening. There's the Eagles shot. 215-592-9494. Ron is in Monco. Ron is on WIP.
Jiggle out.
How we doing?
We're doing. Yo, you have a pit bull, huh?
I do, a pit bull boxer mix.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I was really surprised to say you had a pit bull and I asked with those two kids.
Well, we had the dog. We got the dog before we had the kids.
Okay. Well, I took you as a toy poodle type guy
No, I love the pit bull. She's great.
That's a lot of energy running around there.
Oh, man. I'm up at 6 a.m., Ron, every morning taking her for a walk to get the energy out.
That's why you get one of them treadmills in the house and just strap it.
Yeah, I might have to do that soon.
Yeah. So listen, you know, I'm listening to everything tonight as usual, and I'm watching the game at the same time. You know, and you guys, a lot of stuff tonight, a lot of stuff. So let me start with, you know, that guy that you just had on the phone, whoever he is.
Steve Fezzik,
yeah. He's a good weatherman.
He's a gambling expert. He makes his money off of gambling.
He's a lot of nothing. Anyway, look, here's the Ravens and the Birds, okay? 31 Ravens, Birds 6. Stay away from the game.
You sound optimistic.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. This is the game that I'm worried about. Now, I'm not worried about fumbles. I'm not worried about interceptions. I'm worried about whether he gets carted off on one of them carts.
Well, let's hope not.
That's the game that – this is the game that I'm really worried about. Because they're going to come after him, and I'm not worried about their quarterback. He doesn't have to pass. He doesn't have to throw the ball one time against us. Okay? With that running back and him, and if he wants to, he's got that tight end. Okay? They're going to destroy this team. It's going to be ugly. I just pray that he doesn't get hurt too bad. You know, because I did see him take that shot to the ribs last week.
Yeah.
It was very quiet, and he was rubbing his ribs. I don't think it's going to affect him. You know, you would have heard something by now. You know what I mean? With that.
Yeah, we would know if he was limited in practice or anything like that.
Yeah, because I think he just took a nice shot to the rib area. You know what I mean?
Well, he takes a lot of shots. He's a tough guy. Most of them he just gets right back up. He takes a lot of shots.
Yeah, and you know what? The Harbaugh thing, you know what I took out of that?
What?
I don't know whether you caught it or not. What was the big thing with him? He brings in tough football players.
They look for – the way he described it, the way he described it was they look for Ravens.
That's right. He looks for tough guys and works with them from there.
Yep.
Yo, we're a box of cotton down there.
Yeah, they're not the Ravens, Ron. That's for sure. They're not Ravens.
God. Well, you know, Eagles should be able to kill Ravens, but not in this case.
No, not on Sunday. Ron, I always appreciate the call. You have a good weekend. Ron brought the fire there. I mean, I appreciate ripping our guests. Fez is a great guest, but Ron did bring the fire there. 215-592-9494. Coming up on the other side, NFL picks, my picks, and we'll guess the takes. The takes everyone will be talking about early next week. That's up next on the evening show right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley behind the glass. You guys with us at 215-592-9494. All right, you know what it's time for. It is time for the weekly edition of NFL Picks and Guess the Takes. Let's do it for week number 6 here. All right, so we'll get to the takes and what I think everyone will be talking about next week. Let's start with the picks here for this week. We're going to go game number 1 down to Carolina. And yes, we're going to bet against the coach that everybody's raving about right now, including Tucker, wearing his Panthers shirt in here. We're going with the Bears.
Not today.
Not today. Plus a point and a half. Look, Chicago, I feel like Chicago still is being disrespected. Like, it was like, oh, the Bears don't know what they're doing. Their GM stinks. They could have had Cam. They could have done this. They could have drafted Watson and Mahomes. And they're stuck with Nick Foles and Trubisky. They keep winning. They're a pretty good football team, and I think they're going to get better as the season goes along. They're not going to win 13 or 14 games, but they're going to get better. And I think this is a good spot for them. Carolina has to deal with being a favorite, and kind of everyone likes them now for the first time. That could change kind of the mentality down there a little bit. They're not under the radar anymore. They're favored in this game. And they came off a division game last week. Meanwhile, Chicago, 10 days rest. And Carolina's defense still, you can move the ball. I think Nick Foles plays well in this game. Not much pass rush from Carolina. Chicago goes in there, wins outright. Bears plus 1.5. Game number 2. I've liked this since I saw it on the schedule. I think things are about to even out in the NFC near the top of it. Green Bay's been very, very good. But I don't believe Aaron Rodgers has seen a pass rush quite like what Tampa Bay has. Tampa Bay off a 10 days rest. The Packers off a bye. So I think you could see a little rust out of one or both these teams. I think it's a defensive game. And Tom Brady's got to be embarrassed, everybody. Tom Brady forgot how many downs there were last week. I think a refocused, more buttoned up, less penalty Tampa Bay team at home gives Green Bay their first loss of the season. Rodgers is mortal in this one. The Green Bay injuries, you notice it. Tampa Bay beats Green Bay. I'll take the point. Bucks are going to win this outright. Tampa Bay over Green Bay. And game number 3, I'm taking points again. Monday Night Football, I think it's going to be a shootout. I tend to believe what we saw from the Bills last week was just a little flat in Tennessee. And I agree with Steve Fezzik, who was on with us a little bit ago. Something's a little off with Kansas City defensively, and just the whole thing. Mahomes is throwing the ball up for grabs a little bit more than I like. And I could see this game being very close, shootout. I'm not going to bet against Mahomes pulling out a victory, but if you're giving me 4.5 points at home with the Buffalo Bills, I will take that. Bills plus 4.5 for game number 3. Bears plus 1.5, Bucks plus 1.5, and the Bills plus 4.5. I always pick the Eagles game along with all this. So early in the week, my thought was Eagles were going to cover, and I thought the Eagles had a nice chance to win this game. But I looked today at the Eagles injury report, who they're sitting, what this offensive line is going to be, and I get a weird vibe from the Eagles that, without saying it, they're punting this game on Sunday. They have a game on Thursday night against the Giants. That game matters 10 times more than whatever happens against the Ravens. It just does. Lane Johnson not playing after gutting out all these games feels to me like they're getting ready for Thursday night. Deshaun and Alshon, maybes? No, not playing. It feels like they're trying to get ready for the Giants, the Cowboys, the Giants, their next 3 games. I don't think the Eagles are all in to win this game on Sunday with their personnel. Look, the Ravens are just too good to mess around with. Carson has a turnover, and the route is on. I will go Ravens, let's say 30, and the Eagles 17 at the link on Sunday. So I go Ravens minus the 9.5, Bears plus the 1.5, Bucks plus the 1, Bills plus the 4.5. Those are the picks for week number 6. Now let's get to the takes. I try to guess here what everyone is talking about as we enter next week. I'll start with this one. It's a typical one, right? Because this happens every year. But let's just pinpoint it as this is the week. For no reason, And sadly, Joe Buck gets ripped nationally for something. Joe Buck's an amazing broadcaster. He's the best in the business, and he has a crazy week coming up here. He has Sunday Bucks Packers, Monday Bills Chiefs, and then he has the World Series Game 1, Game 2. Then he stops the World Series for a day, comes here to Philadelphia for the game with the Eagles and the Giants. Then he goes back to Texas for World Series Game 3, Game 4, maybe Game 5 after that. Who knows? Joe Buck's everywhere. He'll get ripped. It'll be stupid, and I'll be annoyed at it. Take number 2 you're going to hear next week. And this one will be wrong, but I think it'll be kind of recency bias. You're going to hear that Andy Dalton is not even that big of a drop-off from Dak Prescott, because I think the Cowboys are going to beat the Arizona Cardinals in Dallas on Monday night. I could see Dalton playing pretty well in this game. Chandler Jones is out for the season. There's no pass rush. As we talked about the show earlier this week, I don't know what the coordinator in Arizona is doing with Isaiah Simmons, their first-round pick. I mean, there's no impact players in the front of that defense for Arizona. Dalton's going to have time. He has an amazing array of weapons. He'll play a good game on Monday night. And the take will be, see, Dak's not even that important. They can win with Andy Dalton. It's not true. It's going to be a mistake to think it, but people will think it after that game. And the third take you're going to hear early next week, which I've been trying to tell you guys for a few weeks now, but it's going to be more of a national thing. Hey, the Rams are a real Super Bowl contender. I think the Rams are going to go into San Francisco against a still banged up and still not 100% Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, and I think they're going to bury them. Last year around this time, it was the opposite. The 49ers were emerging as the best team in the NFC. They had this amazing pass rush with Bosa and all those guys. And they went to Los Angeles last October, and they buried Jared Goff and the Rams. And really, the Rams never recovered. They, you know, they bounced back a little bit and got in the race, but they never were actually a threat again. I think they return the favor. I think the Rams go into San Francisco. Jared Goff has a big day because they can't rush the quarterback. And they beat the 49ers, take control over them, push them down in the NFC West. I think the Rams are going to be looked at, as they should be, after the game Sunday night, as a real Super Bowl contender. People will rip Joe Buck for no reason. Andy Dalton will be looked at as Dak Prescott's equal, even though it's silly. And the Rams will be touted as a real Super Bowl contender. Those are the takes you're going to hear after week 6 in the NFL. And we'll check them, I guess, next Tuesday night. We'll check the takes. See how I did?
Maybe, if there isn't a football game.
Yeah, that's true.
Or if you don't forget.
We
haven't really reviewed them on Tuesday night.
No. I mean, was it last week or the week before? We teased them on Tuesday night, got to them 24 hours later.
Yeah.
We just want to make sure the audience is on their toes. Like, we say something, and I promise we'll talk about it. Just doesn't mean it's right away.
It's called long-form storytelling.
That's right.
Look it up.
That's really what we're doing here, right? It's a long-form, four-hour, five-day-a-week storytelling. And it doesn't matter if we're right or wrong. It's storytelling. Anyway, yes, I hope there's not a Tuesday night game, because I hope these games get played as they should. Though there's a lot of scares going around the NFL right now. NFL's not having a great week with the COVID situation. I mean, and the country isn't either. But the NFL is not having a great week. Colts, I guess those were false positives. Everyone's fine in Indianapolis. Atlanta has one, but there was a report there were four, and then they said, no, it's just one. The Eagles put Matt Pryor on the COVID list. He did not test positive, but he was, I guess that means he was around someone that did. So we'll see where that goes. You know what's pretty clear at this point? The NFL's in denial about this. Not every team is playing 16 games. It's just not happening. Like, where was the positive today? New England?
New England got another positive
test. So they canceled practice in person, doing virtual practice. They are ready. Like, the Broncos haven't played since October 1st. Their bye's gone. They wasted it last week because the Patriots couldn't play. If for some reason Broncos-Patriots can't play this week, like, there's no more bye weeks. They both used them to get this game in. I just think we're reaching the end of the rope, Tucker, on the idea that, oh, we'll just be able to make them all up. It's over.
I think so. And it's such an odd situation right now, because you don't really know on a week-to-week basis. Like, I hate – you don't ever feel bad for the Patriots, right? But – I almost did, because they practiced an entire week for a game, and then the NFL came out and said, hey, you know what? We'll push it back for a week. That was your bye week. And if you're a player on the Patriots, if you're their, you know, backup left tackle, if you're a third-string defensive tackle, if you're barely making any money and that bye week is the week where you can recover, the week where you can hang out with your family, and you just lose that, right? Like, you just come back to practice the next week because you have another game to prepare for. That's pretty crappy.
You know, I was thinking about this, and this is obviously much less important than players staying healthy and people staying healthy and everyone. But you know what's going to end up being a weird advantage and disadvantage as the season goes along? Like, think about Pittsburgh. They're 4-0. Or Tennessee, 4-0. You know what teams never liked? They never liked the early bye. And those teams were forced basically into early byes because of it. So, like, if those teams go to the playoffs, by the time they get to late January, they're going to have played for months and months and months, probably, without a week off. Like, I don't know which team it's going to be, but, like, whoever it is, someone that's good is going to get through this season healthy, not have, just lucky, right? Not have a COVID cancellation of them or an opponent, have a bye in the middle of the year, and that's going to be such a weird advantage where they basically had a normal year. Meanwhile, another team's been playing for 16 straight weeks by the time we get to late January. It's going to matter.
It will. It's the NFL is so much different than baseball. And so much different than any other sport because weird things like that do matter, right? Playing on a short week, having extra days off, having a bye, having to play 2-3 games on the road. Like, we talk about baseball, you got a 10-day road trip, but that doesn't really matter.
No.
Right? Like, if you're a better team, if you're the Dodgers, you're on a 10-game road trip, you're going to be favored in about 8 or 9 of them.
Right, and what happens early in a season outside of injuries doesn't really – like the Braves and Dodgers are playing the NLCS right now. Nothing happening in the series is because the Dodgers had a long road trip or, you know, didn't have enough days off in June or in July or August. Nothing.
No, I mean, even the Marlins, right, who had to take 2 weeks off at the beginning of the season, or even the Cardinals had to take 2 weeks off at the beginning of the season, they both made it into playoff contention, and they didn't really complain about it.
Yeah, there's so many games, it all evens itself out. Football is not that. Dan is in Northeast Philly. What's up, Dan?
What's up, Joe?
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Now, remember, we go back to 2017. Early in the year, we were not that up and down a little bit. And I said to the guy at work, I said, they got to run the ball. They got to have some balance in the offense. And they had LeGarrette Blount, and they started running him. And then they were running the other guys. And you drive the ball down the field, you keep the other team's defense on the field for 8 minutes, and you score. That's the way you got to play. Now, how come when they played fullback and halfback, it worked for 100 years, but now it can't work? You tell me why it can't work.
Well, you know, the field is condensed now, and you're not going to get big yardage with that. It's just it's not an efficient way to play. I mean, I like the idea of running the ball more, Dan, but the fullback's not coming back.
I don't understand why. If it worked for 100 years, why can't you do it now? Because you don't have to do it all the time. Just do it sometimes. Because all these defenses are geared for somebody passing with all these receivers.
Well, you know what? That is a fair point. And the Patriots used one a couple years ago when they got to the Super Bowl against the Rams. I mean, it's not impossible. But here's the thing. That player, Dan, has to be more versatile than just being a fullback, because otherwise you're keeping a guy that only plays a handful of plays a game. Like the guy out in San Francisco, Juszczyk, he's a guy that it works because he's almost like a tight end and a fullback.
But Joe, remember Miles Sanders, the first play he broke last year
in Buffalo,
he went for 37 yards for the touchdown. Jordan Howard busted him with the block.
Yeah,
they were playing fullback, halfback.
It was in Buffalo.
Well, whatever. He busted him loose. And everybody puts everything on Wentz. The offensive line's shoddy. You know, he's a gunslinger. He tries to make something out of nothing, maybe too much sometimes. But our biggest problem is our defensive coverage. You can run 12 yards down the field and Big Ben stealing it to the guy. And the nearest Eagles defender's 5 yards beyond them. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, well, the one play, Dan, I always appreciate it. You have a good weekend. The one play that I thought about last weekend, when the Steelers ran a crossing pattern, and it was like man coverage, but Jalen Mills was so far off the receiver. I forget which one it was, Washington maybe, or they have a lot of receivers. But he was so far off that the guy just cut in, and by the time, like, it felt like Mills had to run forever to get him. And he already caught the ball in front of his face, and he was across the field. I mean, part of the problem with Jalen Mills, and I generally like Jalen Mills, but he has no speed. He has to play off receivers, otherwise they run past him. So it's very easy to complete passes in front of Jalen Mills. Like, he can't play up on a guy. He plays up on a guy, they're going to run past him.
No, and I wonder if that's part of the reason they moved him to safety. So Jim Schwartz basically decided this year they were going to play man-to-man defense in the secondary, which they didn't do his first 4 years here, right? They were a zone-based defense, a little bit like Seattle. which was based around slower, bigger cornerbacks, which is kind of what Jalen Mills is. But with Darius Slay, they decided to switch to man-to-man, and they moved Avante Maddox out there, who is quicker. I wonder if that's why they moved Mills, is because they know he really isn't good in man-to-man. He can't necessarily play that type of coverage every down without getting beat.
Yeah, they don't have the whoever it is, they don't have the right guy on the other side of Slay. I don't think Maddox is that good. Mills is a nice player to have, but he's not that. It's just, it's amazing. All these years, all these tries, all these picks, this trade for Slay, they still need another corner. They still do. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. We'll check in on the poll we put up before the show. Do you trust Carson Wentz to play a mistake-free game on Sunday? I believe it is the only path to a victory. Well, that's coming up. And there's one thing the Eagles defense has done well this year. They're going to have to do it again Sunday to have a chance against Baltimore. I'll tell you what that is coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.